listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 30th. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live, as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives the death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about the law of control.
And wherever else the topic leads us.
Yes, as is our wont.
That's true. But, law of control. I think you have something to start us off with, don't you there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm going to read our card on that. And that is number 5, actually, law of control in our inner oracle deck. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Yeah, the lobby for change or leave, that's pretty powerful. You know, Michael and I were talking before the program about situations that you have to make decisions about because you can't control other people. And sometimes there is a line to draw, and it's just a matter then of deciding whether or not you're going to walk away. Because if you can't inspire change, but you're in diametrically opposing parts of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like flat earthers versus the round guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
or,
I think
you know,
that's
big NASA and science keeping everybody oppressed with the Antarctic ice wall. We all know this to be true.
Yeah,
we don't have to dwell on it.
Yeah.
But
you know, if there's some times when you just have to walk away.
Well,
and I know I've had to make those decisions myself because but I want to say I kind of look at it as control versus management. What can I manage?
Mm-hmm.
I can't control everything because that's implying an absolute somehow. Control is to determine the outcome. And sometimes that's just not possible. But rather, can I manage? Can I manage the situation? How can I better manage life? How can I, you know, better manage this relationship, for instance? And if it's not manageable, then, so I kind of, that's how I kind of weed it down. Certainly check and balance with myself about control and what is that control? What is it that I'm needing, and being honest about it? Okay, then what's manageable? And what can I live with, not live with? How, you know, what's my part in this? And if it just sucks, then you got to walk away. So,
well, you know, there are times where things are completely out of our control and our circumstances dictate what happens. But many times in our lives, we find that, you know, when it comes to people, especially, you know, in interpersonal relationships, this is where that inner oracle card really applies, is when you deal with other human beings, friends, you know, romantic partners, family. It's important to understand what right you have to try to influence and control others, which is you don't. You can only control yourself. You can try to influence others. You can try to, you know, be a source of change, but you can't offer unsolicited advice, and you can't try to dominate or control them. And that includes, you know, trying to control the way that they think or the way they do things. And one of the things that we were talking about, Dr. Hunter, before the broadcast, as you had said, was, you know, how difficult it can be when you have, you know, close friends that, again, like you said, are from these diametrically opposed points. And a lot of things going on in society have brought to light differences within circles of friends and family and our social groups. And I think this topic is mostly just from me. I mostly just need to hear this. So thanks everybody for coming along on the ride. And thank you, Dr. Hunter, for talking me through it again. But it's important to realize that, you know, we have the right to lobby for change when appropriate. And we also have the right to walk away when it's appropriate. And we have that within our control. Not saying that you always should, you know, I mean, every situation is unique. And, you know, personally, this is a situation where a close personal friend and I disagree on some things. And, you know, I had to resist the urge to be frustrated with not being able to control the way that he saw the world. And yes, I have what I consider reasonable arguments for the way that I see things, but he would think the same, and so I have to recognize and respect his right to believe what he believes, no matter how much I may disagree with it. And of course, you know, as we're also discussing, there are limits. You know, there are certain boundaries. Obviously, and this is not, at this point, this is not to my own personal example, but in the broader context and in the generality, there are lines of extreme examples, you know, of, you know, the, well, I hate to borrow a phrase, but the cardinal sin, you know, murder, theft, and different things like that, kind of break those boundaries. But generally speaking, it's up to each of us to make a judgment call, I suppose. But we have to remember that we don't have a right to try to control the thoughts and actions of others. And doing so only brings unneeded pain and frustration.
Well, there's boundary. I would like to share a little testimonial, if I may. I will anyway. I've known a woman for a number of years. She is a real devoted Christian. Mm-hmm. One of her kids turned pagan. And, of course, one of my kids converted to Christianity. So we had those discussions in common. Mm. We had a few mutual friends. And, you know, this woman is very kind and very good, and we're respectful of each other's, you know, philosophical positions. Mm-hmm. The difference being she has a lot of money. Mm. So, and I'm not saying she's just doing well. She has a lot of money. And it started to get to the point where that was infringing on our ability to have a fair and equitable exchange or dynamic. For instance, she would say, I would really like to do something for you, Vicky, and I'd like to send $200. I want to contribute $200 so you can take your grandkids out. You just tell me where you want to go. I'll book ahead and pay for it. And so that's all control. And I said, no, thank you. Yes, but isn't there somewhere you want to take them? There's so many things to do out there. And I said, yeah, they do whatever their parents want to do with them, and we take them out. But thank you, no, because that was her way of controlling things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my last conversation with her, she was very upset with the bank and needed to vent. Because her and her husband wanted to buy this land next to them for $2.5 million. And she got a new guy at the bank who didn't look at her financials. And she was really mad that she couldn't just go in and buy this land. And so she went to a different bank because they didn't respect me. They didn't even bother to look at my financials. The next bank, well, I took my financials in and they gave us the money right away. Like, this conversation is way over my head. And I hung up the phone. A number of things had happened where I said, her and I will never have an equitable kind of friendship because mm-hmm. she's not aware how she demonstrates her station in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, when I tell you she's a kind woman, she really is. And she does do a lot of good things in her community and charities and so on. But after a while, it's one day I said, why didn't I completely see this before? I've always tried to keep the relationship in a friendly way about families, kids, philosophies, you know, life in general, not to get, you know, stepping over the personal lines, mm-hmm. you know, into our lives. But I finally had a think with myself, and I sat down and she had been calling me and over a few months and, I shook my head and I said, you know, I have to really own this. So I sat down and I wrote her the kindest letter that I possibly could. And I said, I have so appreciated you in my life. I've learned a lot through our exchange and our interactions. I've benefited. And I want to thank you for that. But we're on different levels. We're on very, you know, we live different lifestyles. We have different, you know, and I said it very kindly. And I said, so I don't feel at this time we have a lot to talk about. And so with all the kindness in my heart, you know, I'd like to just kind of put the brakes on things.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent me a text. Well, in the spirit of which you wrote your letter, I accept and respect you. Okay. And I've not heard from her since. Now, she's not taking that well, you see. But I have to live with me.
Right.
See, I have to live with me. I can dodge somebody. I can, you know, kind of drift into the woodwork. Or I can be honest about why I'm not answering your calls. Like, because I got nothing to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk to you about your million-dollar deals and all your investments and, you know, your big crops that the beer company in the States and all your investments. It's way over my head. And I live a very simple, modest life. We aren't equal. And it's not going to happen. I'm attempting to be equal, but my error was realizing how much money and power it can impose.
Mm-hmm.
And people who live in that world. Again, I want to say this. She's not a bad woman. She's not. She lives in her own reality. That's not my reality. So we could share a lot of conversations. We could have some similarities, but we're not going to be friends. We can't be friends.
Not enough mutual reference points.
Well, and the one reference point that comes between us, I will always be a subordinate.
Right.
You see, and that's the interesting thing that I came, and this is only a couple of years ago, by the way, I came into this realization that when you, in the haves and have-nots, reality, the have-nots will always be the subordinate to the haves. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think I behave like a subordinate or have not, but I don't live in that world. And so there's this, Wendy's saying, sounds like someone who's insecure and needs to be around someone who she feels is beneath her. That happens very often. I think a lot of people have insecurities. I think most people have insecurities.
Well,
And they're trying to control their world mm-hmm. from those insecurities. And sure, you know, pick a target.
Yeah.
And you're right. And I got to tell you, honestly, she said, Wendy also added here, she feels better about herself by venting and Dr. Vicky making her feel better because she's a nice person. I like to treat everyone the same, mm-hmm. everyone with due respect. And I can hold my own in pretty much any environment in a conversation. But it's grating after a while when I think even if I had a lot of money, I had to really think about this too. If I was one who was just, you know, oozing out money, would I call people up who are renters and say, oh, I can't believe the bank did that to me? You know,
Jeffrey at the bank, my personal banker.
<I know. laughs> So there is this a blind spot, I think, for some people. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone as an aspiring metaphysician or anyone who's certainly been through the IMHS program has a little more awake to, you know, Jamil just wrote in there, she doesn't realize that we're all made of the same stardust. Mm-hmm. And however she may and know that concept, Jamil, it's not relevant to her in her reality that she lives every day. So yeah. She's believing that her reality can somehow be my reality and she can let me into her world. She doesn't know that her world doesn't interest me. Do you see? So
right.
I think at a spiritual level, we all know we're of stardust. I like to think we do at some spiritual level.
I think maybe some of the more enlightened of us mm-hmm. realize that, you know, that we're really all made of the same stuff. And,
yeah.
you know, we were talking not terribly long ago, maybe last week or the week before, about, the human animal, nature versus nurture. And that's a big part of it, you know. A big part of being a human animal is wanting to have status in the tribe, you know, or the pack. You know, a lot of people like to say that, you know, human beings are like sheep, you know, that we just follow, you know, the shepherd and just there's a flock. That's not really true. Humans are a pack. You know, there's a reason that dog became man's best friend, you know, that we took the wolf and completely made it into a different creature because we're so very similar and we jockey for status in our pack. You know, status comes in a lot of different ways, and for your friend, you know, I take it her status came from her wealth and her being able to say that. And even if on a conscious level, maybe she didn't realize, you know, the secondary gain she was even getting from it, but she mm-hmm. emotionally felt it, and it became a pattern.
Well, and I think this is where if you are, let's say, regular folks, which I like to think I'm regular folks, and, you know, a lot of regular folks look up to power and money as that's what I want to aspire to. So they want to fit in with that world. And I have no desire to do that. But what I know is everybody's just real people, no mm-hmm. matter what they have. I talk to the people on the street, too. So, you know, no matter where people come from, that's a thing. But I think that we're in this world. Fran just nailed it. She said we live in a world of systematic control globally throughout information, disinformation, misinformation. And that's what power likes to do to gain more control for itself. So I would totally agree that whether it's from insecurity or a need to have power, you know, the woman I'm referring to, that's how she would have control in her world and even emotionally. And and compensate for insecurities. And I think that there's a lot of politicking going on to that effect as well. People who like to live in a world that, you know, they can yield some power and wield some power, and others who want to live in that world and they aspire to it. Mm-hmm. And they believe everything that the power says. So then there's greater divisions then. But when you know who you are, and you know that you can't control others no matter what, you begin to manage differently. And you make decisions based on how you can best manage your world mm-hmm. in as healthy a way as possible.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think a big part, you know, of the law of control is also your right to not be controlled by others. And exactly. That's how we manage these relationships.
Yeah.
You know, and we always have to, you know, I personally get my sense of control through being able to be the superior life form and the boss in my household of cats. I have two, and I'm pretty sure that I'm the boss. Of course, that might just be in my own head, but I don't know. I'm bigger and I control
the
food. but no, you know, it's, I think in a good relationship, it's a balance. It's a give and take, and it's a realization where you come to an enlightened place where you kind of can, we're always going to be prone to these instincts, but you can perhaps rise above that instinct to jockey for position to be the dominant one, you know. Maybe just to be, you know, completely equal is just fine. There's nothing wrong with that. To be on equal footing, to have a level playing field with eye to eye is good. It allows for the better exchange of information, for ideas, for creativity. You know, when you have an alpha, people would defer. Where you have a more egalitarian equality, and you have mutual respect and a real kind of team atmosphere, then you have a much greater success rate at solving problems, at coming up with needed ideas, with coming up with new ways of thinking. And this is how we move forward.
One of the best managers I ever knew, I didn't work for him, but I knew him, and everybody loved to work for this guy. But he always elevated people, gave them lots of responsibility, supported them. And so, of course, you know, I'm interested. How do you do that? He said, I find good people. Hmm. And I said, well, some people might feel threatened as a manager that others want to take your job. He said, good. They should actually work to take my job, because then I'll be moving up. You see?
Yeah.
And everybody loved to work for this guy. And see, to me, that is someone who's in really good management of the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
See, so, and he did, in fact. That's how he moved on up in the world. And he just knew how to get good people. He didn't need to outshine anybody. He didn't need to be better than anybody. You mm-hmm. know? He did like his Corvette cars and things.
Yeah.
but, you know, that's what that can do. So, Fran is saying again, you know, knowing who you are is one of the best tools for combating outside control. Well, we decide how we're going to manage that. And here, to me, the ultimate control that I have is knowing I manage myself. And that, to me, is the only thing I know.
Yeah.
And the rest, I don't know. I can maneuver. I'm the first to admit this. There's situations where you have to strategize, and people are like a chessboard. No question. It doesn't mean I'm being disrespectful. I'm not minimizing anybody. But sometimes life is a game of strategy.
Well, and exactly. And
go ahead.
It's part of being the human animal. We live in a society. We live in a larger social structure. And to survive and to thrive is to learn how to navigate that social structure, which means, you know, I'm trying to think of a word that's not manipulating to this sound, but you have to manage people and manage the situations yeah. within a healthy context.
Well, I know, I think it's a friendly word these days called navigate. What's yeah. the narrative? Yeah. I think that's a popular term these days. And I think that's true, though, and because it is having some kind of insight to being sensitive to others. I think really when you're navigating other people, one of the things is you can't control them and don't give unsolicited advice. Those are all things that we use, skills that are in us that we use to best get along with others. And, you know, from, again, a healthier point of view. And, again, those are management terms. So, yeah, I mean, very often I say, man, I'm playing these people like a chessboard. But everybody has access to the same information, as I see it. And if they're preoccupied, they're busy and they're not paying attention, well, here we go. You know, so get the job done. So I think that there is, though, a chain of command, and we are always in situations where we have to defer. And I always say, if those are people are in charge and they're the ones bearing the responsibility, sure. You want to pay me for cleaning a toilet? Okay. I mean, I don't think that's somebody having control. I think that's just somebody who is cheaping out on the cleaning staff and is not being a very good manager. But if that's what you want, knock yourself out, because there's a chain of command. I've recently had conversations with people about careers now. It used to be you would have a specialty, and that's the job you would get hired for. For instance, there's a job here in media relations with the Performing Arts Center. And I thought, you know, I'd really like to do that. But then you had to be a videographer. You had to know video editing. You had to know, put all their media stuff together, design the pamphlets, and attend the performances, et cetera. I said, that's five jobs in one. And barely above minimum wage. And I'm saying, what's going on out here? And it's everything watered down, the cheaping out. You know, and they think they have control. And I was talking to somebody else. There was five women working in the department. One left, so they just divvied up the work to the rest of the four people and didn't intend to hire anybody else. So they're cheaping out. They think they have control. But what happens eventually, everybody, and I mean, it implodes, right? So that assertion for control starts to break down. At the bottom, staff either leave, they have nervous breakdowns, they're away on sick leave, you know, the list is long. And people are, there's too many demands on people to be multi-talented and multi-skilled. And again, employers think that they've got control. They're the ones paying and they have control. Well, you've watered down all the talent because nobody is a special, you know, specializing anymore. Anybody. Yeah, if you like computers, I guess you can do that job. You know, it doesn't mean you have a real honed-in skill.
Well, so, and it would probably have to, you know, depending on the hours and depending on the income, it might have to be a second job.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that there's all kinds of ways that control and how we deal with control, you know, plays into our daily life, and how those who assert it more tend to have really loud voices, but that doesn't mean they actually have control, because the bottom actually has control in how they manage those who are trying to control them. Does that, I hope that made sense, because I know what that means, but I don't know if I said that right.
Well, it made sense to me.
Sorry, how I respond to that assertion of control is within my skill set. And I think the more awake you become, the more you can apply that skill set to all kinds of situations, no matter whether that's the landlord, the boss, you know, your family, friends. And but we're all making decisions, right? And we have some pretty big decisions to make. If the job is that bad, you got to leave. You can like everybody you work with, but that's no reason to stay and deal with stress. Or, you know, again, it's kind of narrowing that down and deciding how do you best want to manage this for yourself. And what's the outcome that you want?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. It's about being the person that we want to be and living the life that we want to live, because, you know, as it's been said, and I don't know who to necessarily attribute this to, but I've heard it from my father, life is both too long and too short to put up with certain things, you know. It's nothing is more freeing, nothing is better than living life on your terms within your sphere of control and your ability to, you know, own yourself and understand everything about you. And I think, you know, Fran put this in chat, knowing who you are is one of the best tools for combating outside control. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's difficult in a world where many times people are trying to control you without, you know, well, they completely go out of their bounds, and without, I'm grasping at a word here that's not coming to me, but outside of their right. And just, again, like was said earlier, misinformation. Constant. And people, you know, don't believe your eyes, don't believe your ears, believe what I say. And people want to latch on to this idea because of the emotional gains they get for it. And sometimes, again, perhaps just like with your friend, they don't even realize the emotional secondary gains they're getting from these ideas. Mm-hmm. They want it to be true, so they make it true.
And I don't want to minimize how, you know, our importance to want to fit in or belong. And if you have an aunt like that and she comes to the Christmas dinners, you know, it's all part of the belonging and tolerating and having patience and a boss, well, I need this job, I can't leave this week, so I have to put up with this. And I'm not trying to minimize in any way that, you know, a situation we don't like, we leave.
Mm-hmm.
But being a good manager of yourself is getting a plan, or saying, I'm not trapped here. You know, this, I do have options to create other solutions, you know, for the situation that there is. Now, it may be, if it weren't such an imposing relationship, this other woman and I could have been very friendly with each other for years to come. I had no issue with that because we had managed until, you know, part of it started to shift and she thought I was in her reality. But had she left that aside, look, she's a good woman. I don't care that she goes to church on Sundays. I don't care. You know, I don't care about that any more than I care if somebody's a Muslim or Hindu or anything. That's not the point. To me, the point is how you live that, mm-hmm. and how you demonstrate that into the world. If that's what you believe, that's cool. But are you a good human being and not imposing yourself? Well, there's going to be limitations on all our relationships. All relationships have conditions. And people who say love is enough haven't lived life, because that's not true. We decide how love is going to act.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. We decide what that is, and everybody just giving it to God or the universe is, you know, relinquishing responsibility for doing your part. So what is your part? Be a better manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even though in the face of a lot of things we don't like, a lot of things we don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say that again? A lot of things we don't like.
You know, it's important to be able to see the humanity in one another also, you know, and understanding. Just like you had said, there's a lot of things out there that we don't like, but there's a lot of things out there that are going well, or going in the right direction. I'd say that, you know, we're seeing some moments of strife, rightfully so, on many different fronts, and it will hopefully propel us forward in human evolution and understanding, which is an unfortunate side effect of being the human animal, is usually our moments of evolution and advancement come with a bit of pain along with it.
Mm. You know, one of the I'm not trying to make myself look like a saint here by any stretch.
Oh, you've already done that. Go on.
I'm saying that how I combat all the stress in the world right now is being grateful for what I have. And I said that to the lady at the store the other day. She said, how are you doing through the COVID? And I said, I got food, shelter, I'm good. She goes, no kidding, hey? I said, better than most. So I'm good.
Yeah.
And there isn't a day that goes by that I don't say that to myself. Is even having a small measure of gratitude and reminding yourself of that, it minimizes the need to have control over every little thing. So it can go a long way. It really can.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Michael, time goes by so fast.
It does.
When we get talking.
It does.
Here we are. It's pulling cards time.
Oh, it's fast pulling cards time.
I mentioned in the chat, anybody like a card? We got names already. Well, I'm getting
absolutely.
My tarot cards. If you want to get your inner oracle self-discovery cards ready, and we're going to shift gears here and go into
reading
some cards. Now, if I can say, for those listening in the archives and you've not been with the program before, we have the IMHS and Dr. Kelly developed the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards. Michael selects one of those cards to get you thinking, kind of connecting with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I choose a tarot card in support of that and see what messages come through. So go ahead, Michael. What do you got?
And we have Dr. Darlene, and I have number 24, Truth.
Nice.
Let's see. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
Well, in support of that, Darlene, is the Two of Hearts. So looking at the truth of relationships, what your heart is connected with. And it may be that you're setting up some boundaries for yourself. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an intimate relationship. It can be, you know, like Michael and I were talking earlier, what are the boundaries and where do we draw those lines? And I think that maybe what this is saying is you're looking at some of that for yourself. And so the Two of Hearts is, where's the truth in your relationships and the value of that win-win, the value of friendships and relationships. So, and I feel good about this for you. It's not a negative in any stretch. I feel like you've maybe crossed a bridge here, and that's so you're on the other side and saying, yeah, okay, I think I've got this figured out. So good for you. I hope that makes sense.
Very good. All right. And we have Fran up next.
All right.
Fran, I have number 13, Positive Consciousness.
I love it.
Let's see, 13. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Well, Fran, I'm going to reinforce that by saying you got the Five of Clubs. That would be the Five of Wands. Now, there's a picture here that may look like people are in battle. And again, you know, the tarot being very visual, I also relate it to regular deck of playing cards. And what would that be without the visual? So what I'm seeing here is there people, you might have been preparing for some stresses, you might have been preparing or you're thinking that there could be, and but I'm thinking there is no battle. I think that with the positive consciousness, you're going to weed through any negativity with pretty much ease. So it's How do I say this? If you're in an environment and you're challenged by an environment that feels a little bit stressful, it's not. You just might be a little hypersensitive, and it doesn't mean there aren't stresses around you, but you got this. Absolutely. And I feel like you're in the driver's seat there, too. So I hope that makes sense to you, friend. I know it sounded a little convoluted, but...
No, very good. Very encouraging.
Yeah, you got this. So I see, if I have this right, Wendy is up next.
All right, let's see. Wendy, I have wild card number 5, don't hate.
Oh, these days. I had to make light of them. Sorry.
That very easily could have been tonight's topic.
Could have been.
A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. Very on point. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to self and others.
You know, I've got the 3 of hearts for you, Wendy, and you know that people, miserable people don't like happy people.
That's true, I don't.
You're funny, Michael. And this is saying, demonstrating happy, there's cause for celebration, there are good things, and when you demonstrate a positive vibe, that negative vibe has nowhere to go. And it's like you might be implementing that tactic and brushing things off, and you're going to get way better results. You might have already started to see that for yourself. And I'm not minimizing stress by any stretch, but when you don't take it personally, that's the biggest deal. And you don't feel threatened, that's the second biggest deal. And you see that you're doing your job and you're managing yourself, you have nothing to feel badly about. So say, ooh, that's their issue. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Oh, it's so cliche, isn't it? But with the 3 of hearts, there's plenty of reason for joy around you, and you'll be infectious toward others. I also want to say that I think you're going to have 2 more people come on side with you in a particular matter. So you're not alone. You've got a couple of allies, and they're going to stand up and voice their opinion to you, and you're going to feel not so alone. So we'll see about that prediction. But there we go. Hope that makes sense, Wendy. We've got Jamil next, I think.
All right. Oh, another wild card. This is a great one. Wild card number 7, hope.
I like it.
Let's see. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, I'm a little bit curious about this, Jamil, because the Emperor in the Major Arcana shows up in support of your hope card. And generally, the Emperor is the overseer. He's elevated to having responsibility, and generally he's the boss, right? Now, the flip side of the Emperor could be that he's a bit of a power monger. He likes that power, kind of what we were talking about earlier. However, when there's still hope and you're being a good manager, you being the Emperor is a great thing. So that's kind of where I'm seeing this going. It also tells me that you may be in a position right now where more things are coming to you. You might be elevated in your job. You may well be getting a new job. So there's something that's being presented to you. So all of your insights, everything that you've learned, turns you into a hopeful and good manager. I like that, because the emperor is the boss, you know. So I don't think that this is saying have hope in dealing with power. I think it's hope within your own power. That's what I believe that is.
Very interesting.
That's my sense, anyway.
I'm not going to lie, I thought of so many Star Wars references when we were talking about the Emperor. But moving right along, we do have we do have Dr. Shirley next.
Yay, Dr. Shirley, nice to see you here.
All right. And I have number 34, take and release ownership.
Hmm.
Also nicely fits.
Yep.
Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Shirley, I've got the Page of Hearts in support of that, Page of Cups. Now, all the pages are the communicators. Right, the bridge between the minor and major arcana. So there is no page in a regular deck of playing cards. So this is why I'm saying that they're always the communicators about communication. So when you have a message about ownership and you've got the Page of Hearts, the first thing I felt here was that there's some healing going on. And I'm feeling healing with somebody else or healing with others. So better understanding, better ownership, knowing your place, being okay with that. But there's this communication going on. And again, I'm kind of stuck on that word, some healing and better communicating. So I'm optimistic that if you've had some challenge with somebody or you weren't sure, that there's an opportunity coming up where it's, oh man, it's way open for you to have a good conversation and with really good understanding. So I hope that makes sense to you too. So thanks for the feedback, everybody. That's great.
And it makes it such a great broadcast and a great time every week, being able to come together. Again, this community of curious, like-minded individuals. It's such a relief to be able to come together and have these discussions about concepts and philosophies that are, you know, and continually getting new ideas and getting the perspectives of people that join in with the live broadcast when they can. And we appreciate that. And thank you very much.
I totally support that, Michael. I do. Again, it's been a great conversation. Now, as we were talking... Mm-hmm. I believe Dr. Kelly messaged you, mm-hmm. messaged us, about next week's topic.
Did Absolutely. He did.
You want to read that up?
Yeah, it's just going to be next week's topic is cult DNA.
Mm.
So we're either going to be pro or against. We'll find out next week. It'll be suspense.
Yeah, so that tells you, everybody, it'll be the first Wednesday in October. Dr. Mm-hmm. Kelly will be joining us. Cult DNA. Oh, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it will be. So I look forward to that.
Well, and I'm looking forward to it also. It's another great occasion to come together, have good discussions, interesting concepts, mm-hmm. and you know, pushing the boundaries of our awareness if we can, even if just a little bit. But, well... The cat's looking at me right now, and the look is telling me it's about time to wrap up. And, well, I do what I'm told. I guess I'm not really the boss after all.
See, I told you. It's a cat. I get a cat that's a boss of me, too. You know? Gee. I only have one. I had two. My old guy, I lost him a couple of years ago, and I decided that no more. Yeah, I'm kind of done. We'll just go along with this girl. But I found that the longer she's alone... the more power she has, the more demanding, I tell you. She is a very demanding girl. So, I don't like that food. Oh, I don't like that food. Where's my treat?
Exactly.
What do you mean you won't let me lick you for half an hour? Like,
it's like they think they have rights or something. I don't know.
Well, as always, Michael, thanks again for tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
In the chat.
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining us. And we look forward to you joining us next week for our topic of cult DNA. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Have a good week.